Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think yesterday was a disaster for me. I dread the next Picks podcast with Sims because we go over our record from the prior week right out of the gates, and I'm going to have to plug my ears and say I'm not listening.
Yeah, that sucks for you, man.
Sucks for you, man.
I didn't even hear what that was.
What was that?
Well, I don't know. We have a show. Pay attention. You're texting over there. We're about our business over here. Maybe that's why you're 0-1-5 on your best this year. You're texting when you should be working. I don't know.
But my texting is working. Do you think I'm like sending a lunch order to my wife or something? Like, hey, you're going out. Grab me a hamburger. No, I'm multitasking. I'm spinning plates. No days off. No minutes off. No seconds off here at PFT. Except when it's time to make picks. Take that down. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, man.
It's not horrible.
Last week was bad. We're tied straight up. You're ahead 4 games already against the spread and 2 games best bets. I thought it was going to be worse. I really did. I'm surprised we split. You know what happened was the primetime games last week saved my ass. Sunday and Monday, both. I think we were right, at least I was, straight up and against the spread in all 3 of those games. That helped me avoid a complete and total disaster for week 2.
Well, I could have gotten like on the best bets, maybe 1 win there if you're, you know, a Kirk Cousins could have just done something. I mean, how many times did they got to put him at the 12-yard line and he's going to throw an interception? So that screwed me over. That's the last time I ride with your stupid-ass team, Minnesota Vikings.
I don't like playing the over-under. I have to really feel strongly about that number. And as you were explaining your best bets with 2 of them last week, an under that didn't hit, an over that didn't hit. I remember thinking, man, I think he's going out on a limb here. But obviously, when your opponent is going out on a limb, you do your best to saw it off. I kept my mouth shut and tried not to talk you out of it. So that worked out for me. Otherwise, 0-3 would hurt a lot more if you hadn't also been 0-3. All right, let's get to it. All odds are provided by BetMGM. BetMGM here for the Joint Mega Picks podcast. Thursday Night Football, Steelers at the Browns. The Browns are 4.5-point favorites with an over-under of 38.5. Chris, who do you like in this one?
Well, go ahead. You lead it off. You're Johnny Steelers guy and always have the pasta and meatballs working the right way. So I'll let you take the floor here, Florio.
And here's what I did.
Right.
Here's my method. High-level mathematical model, analytics study.
Right.
Very careful protractors and compasses and other tools that they use to engage in high-level thinking, of which I'm not capable. I just sat down and I went with my first unvarnished instinct, the product of everything I think, everything I see, everything we talk about, everything we know.
Yeah.
I just went first instinct.
You went Steelers.
First instinct, Steelers 20, Browns 14.
Yeah.
First instinct.
Yeah.
I'm testing first instinct, unaffected. Just sit down. Like if you're... what do they call it? A medium? Like you're a psychic? Like the first thing that comes to my head. That's my test this week. I did it for all the games.
Okay.
Steelers 20, Browns 14. Look, the Browns are reeling from, this isn't live so I can say it, that shit show that they had on Sunday against the Jets where they blew the opportunity to win the game, to slam the door. They left the door open just a little bit and the Jets kicked it in and stuck it up whereas you would say the sun don't shine, up your butt, Joe Boo, to quote Major League. And I think the Browns are going to have a hard time resetting. Who has a players-only meeting when you're 1-1? So the Steelers, opportunistic, situational football, just good enough to win that game. It should be a fun one, not high scoring, but 20-14 Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is something to watch for. There's no doubt. I think when, you know, I'm excited to see how they bounce back, how that goes. You're right, very odd to have a players-only meeting. You know, did it affect Monday, Tuesday preparation where you're still talking about the Jets game, all that? Yeah, I get you. You know, but it's not like the Steelers are free of, like, media scrutiny, too, with the whole Kenny Pickett, Trubisky conversation there. I do think there's pressure on him tonight, definitely. I really, like, we talked about this a lot during the show today on Pro Football Talk, but, you know, I really do think this will be the game that kind of makes a difference for who the quarterback is, at least if Trubisky can save his job for a few more weeks. I think they are going to have to throw the ball to win the game, period. They're not going to be able to run the ball on the Browns defense. The Browns defense is fast. They have decent size. And the Steelers, as we've talked about it, they suck in running. They suck. Now, they're okay at pass protection, all right? Clowney's not playing. And, of course, we know they have those weapons that are dangerous. Trubisky's got to be a little more aggressive. It's not his fault they lost last week or haven't looked that great. But I will say that there are plays that I look at to go, yeah, you might need to push the envelope here a little bit. These guys are too good to just go, I'm going to check it here or throw it here, whatever. So that's what I do look at. But overall, I just think the Browns are a better football team. I do. And what really scares me is a little bit of how the Patriots ran the ball on the Steelers last week. And I just look at the Browns and think, you know, we know they're one of the best run teams in all of football. And Brissett's been good. He's been better than solid. So if you overplay the run, you know, he can make you pay. He's certainly not going to make mistakes and stay ahead of the chains in that way. So that's where I'm going to go with the Browns here. 24-17. It's you know, a rivalry game on a short week is scary. I think the other thing that kind of takes it to me for Cleveland, Mike, because of the short week, there's a part of me that thinks it hurts the Steelers a little bit because now they can't get a little crazier with their game plan on defense and implement some things that they might, which might make them keep them a little more simple. And I think that favors the Browns, who were kind of simple to begin with on both sides of the ball.
Unless they spend some time in preseason, training camp, offseason, knowing they got three games in 11 days to start the season, and they spend some time
that could
not
be
just
too.
Looking at their You're first right. two, but throwing in that Browns game. And you got another head coach in Brian Flores on the defensive side of the ball to help out. I don't have that same concern. All right, that's the Thursday night game. We disagree both straight up and against the spread. Here is the slate of 1 o'clock games. We'll start in Carolina. The Saints come to town. Used to be a huge rivalry in the NFC South. Saints are 3-point favorites on the road. They are 1-1. The Panthers are 0-2. Could have won both games. Jameis Winston banged up. He's got the multiple fractures in his back, as Jay Glazer reported on Sunday, and he's got an ankle injury now. He had his confidence potentially shattered with 3 interceptions in the second half against the Buccaneers. Saints, again, 3-point favorites with an over-under of 40.5. Chris, who do you like?
Yeah, well, I'm going to ride with the Saints here. And I'm looking at it, and I got the Saints 20-17. You know, I'll cut that and make it 19-17. So I'm going to thread the needle, all right? I am going to do that. I don't care. But my thing here, that my biggest question about this, and the health of Jameis Winston certainly plays into a degree, but to me is, even if Andy Dalton has to play, I don't go, oh, man, this really changes the Saints. My big thing is the Panthers. The Panthers are disappointing. First off, like, can their offense do anything? Their offense is sucky-ducky. You know, they went from sucky-ducky last year to sucky-ducky again here this year. They are unable to really have any consistency in the passing game, and the passing game has sucked other than one deep pass to Robbie Anderson in week one. And really, their run game has, new word for this segment, sucked, except other one run from Christian McCaffrey last week against the Giants. I can't buy into them, and not against the Saints defense. Saints defense is damn good. We know that. So I don't see an area where they stress them out. And then, you know, for the Panthers, I just, on their defensive side of the ball, you know, I like their talent, but it's come to the point where they just don't have enough big people to stop teams that can run the ball at all. That's their biggest problem. They're athletic. They're fast. They're just not enough big people. Their defense ends are athletic. Their linebackers are just okay. And that's where I think, you know, I don't know where the status of Alvin Kamara is quite yet, but I think they'll be able to run the ball and play ugly enough and win the game that way. I don't think this game's going to be pretty regardless, obviously, by a 19-17 score that I'm picking. Panthers, this is last-ditch desperate effort, but I just don't think they're good enough to overcome the Saints. I haven't taken the Saints.
Last year, the Panthers started 3-0 before the wheels came off, and I really do feel like Matt Rhule is hitting desperation mode here. This is one that if you want to continue to be the coach until the end of the season, if you want to make it to the end of the season, you got to win this one. This is all hands on deck. Sound the alarm. We have to find a way to win. Baker Mayfield and company, Christian McCaffrey, they have to find a way to win. And I think they're getting the Saints at a good time because you talk all the time about not letting one loss become two. I could see the Saints reeling a little bit from this one, maybe not taking the Panthers as seriously as they should.
Right.
Kind of a trap. And they're not really a team that you would look at as a team that could maybe step into a trap, but still, it's all relative. It's how excited, it's how motivated, it's how focused you get for your opponent. I don't think the Saints are going to be as focused as they need to be. The Panthers are going to be desperate. The Panthers are going to be dangerous. I got the Panthers 23-20 in this one. Counts as an upset, even though the Panthers are at home. I think the Panthers are better than what their first two games would suggest. They could have won both of them, should have won week one after they finally woke up against the Browns, blew that one, could have won week two, blew that one. I think just, you know, these margins are so thin, they're due. This is, again, sit down, gut reaction. Panthers are due. Panthers win 23-20. Let's go to
gut reaction. Where are we in our sheets on our computer? We were on something else. So were we in another document here? This is where I don't. Okay, I guess we are.
Looking right at it.
Well, it wasn't here earlier, and it was in another document, but now it's over in this document. So that's where I don't know where we are. So keep going. I'm sorry.
I know that you always handle technological issues so seamlessly and calmly that I want to make sure that we don't complicate your process at all. All right, we go to Soldier Field, Houston Texans and the Chicago Bears. A Lovie Smith revenge game. Once upon a time, he took the Bears to the Super Bowl. They eventually fired him. He bounced around a little bit, was the coach of the Buccaneers. Now he's in his third game as a head coach for his third time. The Bears are 2.5-point favorites with an over-under of 40. Chris, who do you like?
Well, I mean, you talk about the ugliest, most uninspiring game of the weekend that I could really give a crap about. It's this one, okay? I mean, it is this one for sure. It's two, you know, bad offenses and with two defenses that are well coached but don't really have any playmakers or anything like that. I'm basically boiling this down to the Bears have Fields, their run game has been good, and they just have a few more difference makers than the Texans. I don't think the Bears will be able to throw the ball on the Texans consistently. I don't. But I don't think the Texans will be able to throw the ball on the Bears either. It really comes down to whose run game takes over. You know, I don't have faith in either pass game. So because of that, I'm just going to go with the Bears there in that one. I'm going to go 16-13 Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to go 17-13 Bears. Look, the Bears gave the Packers everything they could handle. The Bears gave the Packers a game that came down to whether or not they were going to overturn that fourth and goal effort by Justin Fields where we think the ball got across the front of the plane and all it has to do is touch the front of the plane. That would have changed the rest of that game. I think the Bears are better than we're giving them credit for. And look, the Texans tied the Colts, but we saw what happened to the Colts the following week.
Well, and the Colts bed and their leg and everything in that game. They did so many stupid things. Right. So but
I was far more impressed by the Texans after they tied the Colts then after I saw what the Colts did against the Jaguars. And then the Texans, you know, they kind of played it tough against the Broncos, but I think the Broncos are going to be not as good as their fans would expect. I just think the Bears get this one done. They find a way. Justin Fields, even though he doesn't have the kind of help around him that other young quarterbacks do, I think he's good enough to make the difference. He makes the key play in the key moment, and the Bears win 17-13. All right. Speaking of the Colts, they are hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are only 5.5-point favorites against the Colts team that has been ass so far this year. 50.5 over under. Who do you like?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at it, it's a desperation game for the Colts, definitely. You know, I don't know if I have any faith in the Colts offense as of right now. You know, I know they ran the ball well in week one against the Texans, but as we discussed, I mean, you know, we just hit that. I don't think the Texans defense is anything to write home about. So that's an issue right there. Right? And then I'm hearing something in my ear here, too, guys.
Yeah, I am, too.
Yeah, what's going on?
We got to kill whatever other show is coming through while we're trying to do ours. Here. Let's get that taken care of.
All right. And then the other thing is, I think with, like, the O-line with the Colts, how good is it? I don't know. Do I think they can just run the ball down the throat of the Chiefs? I have a hard time believing that. And then the Colts pass game, can they carry them for the Chiefs? I don't know if I believe in that too. Michael Pittman's health is going to be big for, you know, how this game plays out. But Matt Ryan, as we've talked a lot this week, it doesn't look great. The arm looks weak. You know, I'm a little worried about it from that standpoint. And then the other thing is here, you know, the Chiefs offense. You know, they know how to play against this Gus Bradley defense. He was in the AFC West the last 5, 6, 7 years. And the Raiders last year, they got torn up. They've realized how to be patient and have the underneath plays against the Gus Bradley Seattle 3 defense. So, you know, I can the Colts D-line get pressure? If they can, then maybe this game is close. But I don't think so. And that's where I'm going to go with the Chiefs here, 31-21.
I got 41-17. I think the Chiefs are going to destroy them. And look, this is the place where the Chiefs once came back from. Wait, no, they blew the huge. They didn't come back. They had the huge margin with Alex Smith at quarterback in the playoffs, and Andrew Luck and company came back and won that game. So anytime they have the lead over the Colts, they're going to step on their throat. And Matt Ryan, as we have been saying, it's quite possible that Father Time is hitting him over the head with that big ass, what's that thing? That hourglass that he wears around his neck. Yeah, I think this may be it for Matt Ryan, and it's definitely not it for Patrick Mahomes. He got extra time to get ready.
Yeah, right.
You know how dangerous Andy Reid is when you give him extra time to get ready. 41-17, I like the Chiefs to blow the Colts off the field. Now the Colts are probably winning.
Well, no, I almost wanted to go that way, too. You know, you said it, too, extra time. And something that we talk about a lot in the NFL in general, like the psychosis of it. You have a great feel for this department, for sure. That's why I call you Pasta and Meatballs. But, too, like, don't you think that Chiefs game, extra time like you're talking about, and a game where I also think it's like, yeah, we won, but we didn't play good, so we're still kind of pissed off. Right? That's kind of the feeling I got from the Chiefs. Like they didn't play their best ball against the Chargers, still won that game. So I don't think they're going to, like, sit back and just be like, oh, it's pina colada time. We're 2-0. You know, I think they'll be on their shit this week and ready to go.
All right. Game of the day, Bills at the Dolphins. Both teams 2-0. The Dolphins last week with that dramatic come-from-behind win, 35-14 down. They tied it up. They took the lead. Tua Tagovailoa, incredible with 6 touchdown passes. The Bills are 6-point favorites at Miami. They didn't go down 5 days early like the Patriots did. They'll go down, and it'll be hot, and it will be far more of a test than I think the Bills ever would have imagined. Over under 52.5. Who do you like?
Well, I like the Bills. I do. I'm too much of a believer in them, what they got, their culture, their toughness, their coaching, all of that. Is it dangerous? Sure. I'm going Bills 28-20. Here's the reason. The Bills are legit on defense this year. You know, like I've said a lot last year, number one was a mirage last year when they were the number one defense in football. This year, they legitimately can be that. They have the D-line. They have the depth. Right, they don't have to overcommit and do crazy stuff on defense. So I think they're going to have a plan, and they're not a man-to-man team. So I think they'll have a plan to, one, you know, their D-line, I think, can stop the McDaniel run game, Shanahan run game, all that stuff. And then, two, because their D-line is so good, I think that's going to allow them to stop the bullshit plays from the Miami offense. That's where they really kill you. Is, whoa, it's a screen to Waddle. It's a screen to Tyreek. And you go, well, here they got 15 yards. He threw a ball 2 yards over the middle. They got another 14 yards. So I think they're going to be all over that. And as great as Tua was and all that as well, you know, this defense is different than the Ravens. The Ravens are the Ravens defense, I think we got to see how good their D actually is. Now, the other side of that is the Dolphins defense is good. It's talented. They were too aggressive last week. If they're that aggressive against my boy Blue and Josh Allen, they're going to get torn apart. So from that standpoint, the Bills have done nothing wrong on the offensive side of the ball. I'm just too much of a believer in them being so good, Josh Allen being so good, and I think their defense is a different animal, 28-20.
Yeah, I got 38-31. I got it more of a shootout than you do. And it could be that it's 38-24 late and there's a garbage time touchdown. But that Bills defense, when you can bring the heat with your front four and then drop everybody
back
and keep it all in front, they got to deal with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They'll give up yardage. I think the key will be don't give up points. I think it's easier to defend the Dolphins' offense in the red zone.
I would agree with that.
Than having guys run by you.
I hear you.
And so bend but don't break may be the Bills' mantra this week on defense.
Right.
And then they'll still do what they do offensively because they got your boy Blue, and whatever they try to do, it's not going to work because he's going to buy time. I think they need to, if they want to be successful, take away Stephon Diggs. I got the impression talking to Diggs this week, the Titans didn't do that even though Gabe Davis wasn't available. If Gabe Davis isn't there again, how do you not completely erase Stephon Diggs and force Josh Allen to go elsewhere? But he's good enough to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
I think 38-31, final score. Bills win, move to 3-0.
If those screens and those plays for Miami work, and we look at the game and we're in the second quarter and we're going, damn, these little short passes here and they're moving up in the ball, that's going to compromise what the Bills want to do. Maybe this game does get really tight. That's going to be something I'll be watching for. Sorry about that, Mike.
That's all right. Lions-Vikings, similar situation. Vikings 6-point favorites, although they are at home. Identical over under 52.5. There have been barn burners between these teams recently. Last year, two great games. Different coaching staff, though, in Minnesota. Same result on Monday night in Philadelphia. Can the Vikings on a short week go home, hold it together, and win the game? And more importantly, can they cover the spread? I don't see anybody winning this game by 6 points either way.
Yeah, all right. So go ahead. You hit it up. Let me see your Steelers, Vikings, those are your teams, pasta, meatballs. Well, let me hear it.
Well, I mean, the Vikings go back to the friendly confines of U.S. Bank Stadium. It will be loud. They'll be blowing the horn. That gives the team an edge. I think they got a little overwhelmed by going on the road into a hostile environment on Monday night under the lights. It was a big deal. And we know how Kirk Cousins is under the lights on Monday night. He's 2-10. So if the guy's 60-60-2 as a starter in all games and he's 2-10 on Monday Night Football, that means he's 58-50-2. On Sundays and Sunday nights, so and Thursdays. So I'm willing to trust Cousins and company. As you said today on PFT Live, they should be able to run the ball better than they did. They can't run it much worse. Dalvin Cook could not get going against the Eagles' defense. They run the ball, take some steam out of the defense, and then be able to get rid of the ball fast. Because, hey, Aiden Hutchinson's going to be coming for you, Kirk. You better get rid of the football because 97 is going to be all over you if you don't. And I just think this is a get-right game for the Vikings, but it's not going to be a blowout. 27-24, I like the Lions to cover, but the Vikings to win in what should be another entertaining game in this series that is sneakily becoming a great rivalry again in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny. It really is. You said it. I like a lot of the points you made there. It has been, under the radar exciting. It's just they got to get good, both of these teams, to really jump on the scene here. I mean, you said it right. I do think the Vikings are going to be able to run the ball on the Detroit Lions. We saw, the Eagles run the ball on them. The Washington didn't run the ball on them, but Washington's O-line's not very good. But Washington had their way in the pass game. Minnesota's got a little bit of both worlds here. I think they should be able to move the ball up and down the field on a Lions defense that I just don't think quite has enough pieces yet. And then, the other aspect of this is why Jared Goff has been better, definitely. I'm not ready to say he can just win shootouts on a consistent basis. I got to see a little more to believe in that. And the other thing, too, the Lions need another receiver that you can look at. It can't just be the Amon-Ra St. Brown show. Who else is going to be a compliment to him to where, as we go here, defenses aren't just going to be able to focus on St. Brown? That's a thing, too. But the one thing I do question, and, I don't I don't expect it to happen because I think the Vikings, their defensive front's pretty damn good with those two linebackers and everything like that. If the Lions' run game starts killing it, I go, uh-oh, maybe it's going to be an upset. But I'm going Vikings 27-20.
So you've got the Vikings covering by a point, but same idea. Look, this should be a close, exciting game.
Right.
Jared Goff against that Vikings defense, I talked about this earlier, 4 years ago, he torched them with the Rams. He's gotten better with the Lions. I think it should be an interesting game. Here's another interesting game, and a renewal of a fierce rivalry in the AFC because we know there's no love lost, as they like to say, between the Ravens and the Patriots. They go to New England. Ravens, 3-point favorites on the road, home opener for the Patriots, 43.5 over under. Who do you like in this one, Chris?
Well, I like the Patriots. I do. I'm going with it. I think they match up well within the Baltimore Ravens football team. I think where, you know, and I know we discussed this a little bit, you know, earlier today, is just that I think the Patriots defense is very good. You know, as much as we talk about the offense of the Dolphins, they only scored 13 points on that crew right there. And one of them was a 4th-and-8 great play over the middle to Waddle to break it. So I think they are legit there. And then what I worry about is the Ravens can't run the ball. They can't. It's the Lamar Jackson show. And I don't know if they got enough weaponry around him for just to take over like a Mahomes or Allen quite yet against a defense like this. So that's where I don't really like it. And then I think I question the Ravens' defense. The Ravens do not have a special defensive lineman on their team. There's none. I mean, Calais Campbell's a Hall of Famer. I get that, but this is year 45. He's not the same guy anymore. All right? So Justin Houston's on there. You know, borderline Hall of Famer. It's year 47 for him. So they don't have those kind of guys. And what I worry about is they have to overcommit to stop the run. And even though Mac Jones and that offense isn't super explosive, they'll have a plan to stop the crazy blitzes and things that the Ravens do. That's the one thing you can count on with the Patriots. So that's where home opener, the matchup itself, I think the Ravens have to blitz to get pressure because they know their front four can't do it. I'm going to go Patriots 20-17.
And speaking of that Ravens defense, John Harbaugh speaking on Thursday about the possibility of adding Jason Pierre-Paul, who's available, Blake Martinez, who's out there. So maybe they recognize they need some
reinforcements. They definitely do.
Well, especially after what I still – in the fourth quarter, I mean, what in the hell?
Yeah.
What in the hell? Just letting Tyreek Hill run by you. The difference is this this offense not as good as what the Ravens faced last week, obviously.
Right.
And I just have faith in – Harbaugh rebounding.
I got you.
I still don't know where the Patriots are offensively. Right. And they're going to have their hands full of Lamar Jackson. Even though the other runners on that team aren't getting it done, Lamar is. And there's a chance J.K. Dobbins plays because he was ready to play as of Saturday night. Maybe they just decided to hold him until the Patriots game strategically because he'll make a difference in that rushing attack. All right, Bengals at the Jets, the Mike White Hall of Fame game from last year when the Jets somehow beat the Bengals. Bengals are 5-point favorites, even though they are winless. Jets coming off of that win over the Browns, over under a 45. Who do you like?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go with the Bengals because they're desperate, and I still have some faith in them. To me, it's just all about the Bengals' offense. I mean, it's all about that. Can they protect Burrow? Can they do that? If they can do it, they're going to win the game. It's really plain and simple. And, you know, they played this scheme last week, so I'm hoping they learn from it a little bit. Dan Quinn, he taught this scheme to Robert Saleh. So this is what they're going to deal with again this week. I know the protection is not going to be great, but you know I don't think this Jets pass rush is the Cowboys or the Steelers in that manner. You know, and then the other side of it is, you know, the one thing we've lost here because of the Bengals' inability to protect Joe Burrow is the Bengals' defense has been phenomenal. I mean, they've been phenomenal in both football games, really. It's a good unit. And the Jets have shown that they're a better unit as well. I don't know. I don't trust them all the way yet. I don't know if they're a high-functioning offense that way. And because of the desperation, I'm going to go Bengals 24-20.
Yeah, I've got Bengals 31-24 covering that spread. You are threading the needle if 24-20. So, look, the Jets are better than we give them credit for, but yes. This is about the Bengals getting a win. You talk all the time about the pressure that is felt in a building as the losses pile up. They can't fall to 0-3, not in that division. You can't do it. And the Bengals are good enough to win this game. And the fact that they lost to the Jets in New York last year.
Yeah, that'll wake their ass up.
Far less likely they step on a rake on this one and actually benefits them. They'll take the Jets more seriously than maybe the Browns did last week when the Browns failed to slam the door. Raiders at the Titans. The Raiders are actually favored by 2.5 points at Tennessee. Tennessee, the number one seed last year, but they are 0-2, got blown out by the Bills on Monday night. I'm sure that's affecting the betting trends. People are writing off the Titans. Are you writing off the Titans in this game that also has an over-under of 45.5?
No. I have too much faith in Vrabel and company there, the coaching staff there in general. One, I would think the Titans can run the ball and get that going here against the Raiders a little bit. And the Raiders' defensive front hasn't been I don't think it's a great defensive front, and in the interior part of the defensive line especially. I also think that, they have a chance to get the pass game going here too. Vrabel's got great knowledge of the Raiders and how they're coached. The McDaniel offense, the Patrick Graham defense. I mean, he played in that defense in New England, so he gets that. I'm giving him a little bit of an advantage of that as well. That's where, I think the offense can get on track. It's not going to be sexy. One of these receivers has to jump out a little bit to be a little bit of a difference maker. They definitely need more of a presence there. But I'm not panicked about Ryan Tannehill. I'm not. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I know I'm probably in the minority there. And then the other thing I worry about is just the Raiders offensive line. They've been unable to run the football. And we saw, last week it was better against the Cardinals as far as protecting the passer. But J.J. Watt and a few of those other guys on the D-line were close a lot. And the Chargers the week before got to Derek Carr a whole lot. I mean, this Titans pass rush I still think is very good, and I think they're going to get after him a little bit. So that's where I get into it, and I think they'll understand how to take Davante Adams out of the game plan a little bit in Tennessee. So that's where I'm going to go with the Titans, 24-21.
Well, they didn't take Stephon Diggs out of the game plan the way they could have and should have, but I still have faith in the Titans to pull this one off. They understand the stakes here. They understand what it means to fall to 0-3, and I know the Raiders are 0-2 as well. The other side of it, too, the Titans weren't going to beat the Bills in Buffalo. I don't care what the final score is, 41-7 or 14-7. They weren't going to beat the Bills in Buffalo. The Raiders had that game won at home against the Cardinals. They blew a 20-point lead. That leaves a mark. That's not easy to recover from. And when you have a new coaching staff, a new regime, and you're trying to get buy-in from the players, blowing that lead surely created a lot of stress and pressure and angst, and it's going to be hard to set that aside and go to Nashville and win. I like the Titans 24-20. All right, last game in the 1 o'clock window, the Eagles at the Commanders. The Eagles looking great so far this year. Jalen Hurts next level. You made the point during PFT Live about how Hurts was the guy that nudged Carson Wentz out of town. They went with Hurts. Wentz gets a crack and a little bit of revenge on the Eagles. The Commanders won in week one, lost in week two. 6.5-point favorites are the Eagles, 47.5 over under. Who do you like?
Well, I like the Eagles. I think this actually has a chance to be kind of a shootout. I don't know. I think it was close last week with the Eagles-Vikings becoming kind of that. I think the first thing is the Commanders, you've heard me say, they can't run the ball. I think that's been pretty justified through 2 weeks. But they can throw the ball. And they're decent at pass protection. And I don't think the Eagles' D-line, even though I think it's pretty good against the run, I don't think it's great as far as just pass rushers. I don't that in way. To where I think Carson Wentz and the Eagles, to me, are still a little too simple in the secondary. I think there's going to be plays there for the Commanders to make on that side of the ball. So I do think they can throw it, and I would expect Wentz to put up pretty good numbers in the pass game, definitely. But ultimately, the biggest problem to me is the Commanders' defense. That's the biggest problem. Del Rio's got him playing dust-up ball. And, dust-up ball just doesn't work. You can't play dust-up ball. You got to play real defense, You got to go – sometimes you just got to go full in. And he's playing dust-up ball. So I don't trust him there at all. I don't think his players really like him either. I wouldn't doubt that either. And I just think the Eagles' offense is phenomenal. They put you in so many tough situations. Run game, quarterback run game. Do you want to match up against these receivers? And I just don't think dust-up ball Del Rio can pull it off. So I'm going Eagles 34-27.
Yeah, so you have the Eagles barely covering. I call it a 31-17 victory by the Eagles, and I think it could get worse than that. I'm all in with the Eagles now after what I saw them do to the Vikings. Now, the offense did nothing in the second half. It really didn't need to. No one scored a point in the second half of that game. It was 24-7 at halftime, 24-7 final. But their defense is opportunistic, bend but don't break there. There were opportunities in the red zone multiple times for the Vikings. Darius Slay making big plays. I just like the vibe around the Eagles right now, and I don't like the vibe around the Commanders, even though they did find a way to win in week one. They fell into a big hole against the Lions. Yes, they tried to fight out of it. I don't think it's going to happen against the Eagles. Let's go ahead and take a break. We will focus on the late afternoon Sunday games, including a couple of old QBs getting together again in Tampa Bay when this joint production of PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned continues right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned, joint Megapix podcast for week 3, 4 p.m. Eastern games, whether it's 4:05 or 4:25, they're all in the same bucket. Let's start with Jaguars at Chargers. The Chargers are a 7-point favorite, which is actually the biggest spread of the week, which maybe suggests there'll be some close games this week. The Chargers get a little extra rest. The Jaguars pretty damn good, over under a 47.5. Do you like the upset in this one?
Well, I'm not going to go upset, but I think people are not recognizing the Jaguars yet. I do think that. You heard me say today on the show, like, I have a man crush on the Jaguars defense. It's studs galore everywhere. I mean everywhere. When you go through it, it's Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, Roy Robertson Harris in the middle, Aluakana linebacker, Devin Lloyd, the first-round pick out of Utah. So you go, whoa, holy cow, that's unbelievable. And then you get in the secondary and you go, you know, yes, Tyson Campbell at one, you know, the 33rd pick of the draft, and then Shaq Griffin at the other corner, and then two good safeties in Rayshon Jenkins and my man Andre Sisco, to where I don't think people are recognizing how good they are. You know, and then the Jaguars have shown the ability to protect the passer a little bit on that side of the ball. So then you add that into Justin Herbert might not be 100%. He's you know, visiting with Dr. Needle a lot and all that. You know, that's where I look at it. To me, I'm going Chargers 24-23. But if you know, the Jaguars can run the ball just a little bit, I think this can be very interesting. And, you know, limit the amount of attempts Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa get to rush on Trevor Lawrence. And Staley's creative on defense. You know, Trevor hasn't seen a defense like this year, where they do a lot of different stuff and all that. So because of that, I'm going to go with the Chargers. But I do think this is, like, a little bit dangerous, and they better watch out in this one for sure.
We're on the same page. I got 24-20. That was my first reaction, sit down, instinct, because – the Jaguars do look pretty damn good. They were very competitive in week one, and they shut out the Indianapolis Colts. And Justin Herbert's going to be playing through pain. Is it going to affect him? I don't know. It affected him when he tried to run the ball last week, and he could get hit again. I mean, the Jaguars defense knows that he's got that injury, and
definitely,
they tend to keep notes, and they test the injury as players will say privately, but not necessarily publicly anymore. But that's just the way it is. So Herbert's going to have to be ready to go and ready to protect himself. And the Jaguars are good enough to make them pay. I think it'll be close. I think the Chargers find a way to win, but I do think the Jaguars cover. All right, Rams at the Cardinals. Last time we saw these two teams play in the playoffs, it was as ugly as it's ever been for Kyler Murray on a football field. Now they're riding the high of that 20-point come-from-behind win, the overtime victory. The Rams blown out in week one, struggled with the Falcons more than they should have in week two. 3.5-point road favorites at Arizona, 48.5 over under. Chris, who do you like?
Well, I do like the Rams. I do think it's scary, though. I do expect, you know, again, another thing we discussed, like the Cardinals just got to go all in, spread, quarterback draw, spread, read option, you know, option, pitch it out there. When they started to do that stuff, four receivers to the right, one to the left, right? And, oh, it's a crazy pass play, and then it's a crazy screen off of that formation. When they started to just do that, that's when the game changed. And that's when the Raiders went, whoa, we can't play just cover two and make it about that. We got to get somebody down there because we're outnumbered with some of these runs of Kyler Murray, and now he's starting to scramble, and they're starting to bring out crazy plays like that. They get themselves in trouble when they try to be something they're not. All of a sudden, two tight ends are on the field and all that. I've given up on trying to say that. They can't do it. They're not made to do that. Don't do it. So that's where I look at it. But I do think, you know, the Rams defense should be able to contain Kyler to a degree. They've been pretty good through that throughout their career, I think, for the most part, other than one game. But I do feel as if the Rams offense is not clicking all the way yet. And if they, one of the keys I look at is just, can they run the ball? If they can run the ball, I think they win the game 24-17, and that's the score I'm going to pick. But if they can't, and it becomes a pass-only type game, that's where Van Joseph can be a real pain in the ass as a defensive coordinator, because he is creative on that end. But I'm going to say they can run the ball because I don't have a ton of faith in the Cardinals D-line that way. I go Rams 24-17.
I'm going Cardinals 30-23. I'm back on the Cardinals bandwagon after seeing that they finally realized, let Kyler cook. We hear about let Russ cook all the time. We're going to talk about Russ coming up later in the program. But let Kyler do his thing. He's healthy now. That's the difference. He looked ordinary last year in the playoffs against the Rams because he wasn't healthy. And when he lacks his mobility, he shrinks before our very eyes.
Right.
He seems smaller. He seems ineffective. But when he's doing the stuff that we saw him do in that game with the two-point conversion, running around for 20.8 seconds, man among boys, even though he's the size of the boy among the men, it really is amazing to see. And I think the Cardinals realize we just have to keep playing the hot hand, and the hot hand is Kyler Murray. 30-23, I like the Cardinals to win this game. Falcons at the Seahawks. Seattle trying to figure out where they are offensively. They're among the worst in the league. They're going to let Geno cook, supposedly. That may be a precursor to benching him for Drew Lock. Falcons were up 16 in week one and blew it. Tried to come back against the Rams. It didn't work out. Can the Falcons, and they stayed out on the West Coast between games, do they settle in and find a way to get their first win of the season in Seattle, Chris?
Yeah, there's some interesting things about this game. You know, you hit it with the Geno Cook stuff. Like, they have to. Like, if they don't open it up and start, you know, throwing the kitchen sink in the passing game, they're just wasting their time. They are. I mean, because, and then there's the other thing. I just go, if they play simple like they did the last few weeks, Dean Pease is smart. He's going to be all over their simple-ass offense. He's going to be all over it. He's going to be like, oh, gosh, I saw this play in, you know, 1974. I know how to defend this. They haven't changed it since then. So that's where I just, I don't trust the Seahawks that way, you know, but I'm hopeful maybe they can do that and show some creativity. But, you know, ultimately, I think the Falcons are going to be able to run the ball in the Seattle Seahawks. I do. And as long as Mariota protects the football, which, you know, there's times where he is very loose with it, fumbles too much, throws some interceptions, and I'm never one to go, oh, protect the football. But I think the Falcons are every bit as good as the Seahawks. I'm going to go Falcons getting the win here on the road 20-17.
Wow. Going into Seattle and upsetting the Seahawks, even though they are slim favorites, 1.5 is basically a toss-up. I mean, there aren't many games that come down to 1 or 2 points, really. They do. We saw some. We've seen some. Jets won by a point, but I think if the Seahawks win, it's going to be by at least a field goal. I've got Seattle 17-14. I think they just find a way to do enough. They're working on fundamentals like better tackling. The Falcons are struggling to get the ball to Kyle Pitts. Marcus Mariota has looked good so far, but he's not all that durable, and Seahawks can be aggressive on defense. I just think that the idea of going into Seattle and beating them, even with a depleted Seahawks team, I don't think the Falcons are good enough to do it. All right, Packers at the Buccaneers. Another very narrow margin here for Tampa Bay. 1-point favorite over the visiting Green Bay Packers. 41.5 over under. Chris, who do you like in the battle of old man quarterbacks?
A battle of the Bay, the old NFC North.
The Bay of Pigs.
Battle of the old timers. It's the Mike Florio Bowl, the old timer bowl.
Chris Berman used to have that tie that he wore when Tampa Bay and Green Bay played, and he called it the Bay of Pigs game.
Right. I know. Those are the good old days, right? Brett Favre versus Warren Sapp and all of that stuff. I think where I look at this, more than anything is the Packers offense. That's where I look at it. Are they going to be able to run the ball on the Bucs? I don't think so. I mean, you don't ever see anybody really run the ball on the Bucs. And then, so then we get into like, wait, the pass game's going to get it done and make plays there. I'm just not ready to say that in Green Bay yet. I'm not, and the Bucs, like, I think they're perfectly fine playing ugly football game. We got to do it Todd Bowles' way. And I think Brady, he's okay doing that too. His two games in a row, what, he's throwing for in the hundreds, right? 195, 190 yards. They run the ball, all of that. It does stink they have no Akeem Hicks and he's hurt, okay? The other thing is, the Bucs offense, I guess I just have a little more faith in them. Even though they're injured galore, I like their scheme. I'm not a believer in the Packers D-line. I'm not. Not all the way. I know they're good, but we saw the Bears run it down their freaking throat last week. I think the Bucs will be able to run the ball that way and play it ugly and do that. So I think that within the running game, it's going to force the Packers in some uncomfortable positions and give them just enough good looks to take advantage of it. It's an ugly defensive game. With the old timers who, they are. They're awesome. They're first Hall of Famers, but they're not Josh Allen or Mahomes or Herbert and able to create and just make up for some of the things that are missing in this game. That's where I think it's just going to be ugly. 20-14 Bucks.
I got 23-20 Tampa Bay in this one. And I agree with you. Even though it's a 3-point margin for me, I think the Buccaneers win. Whatever the score is, I think the Buccaneers win. And they're going to win by more than a point if they win, and so I'm maybe this is going to be one of my best bets. I don't know. Just feels like a Tampa Bay win. This feels like Tommy finds a way to win.
Yeah, it does.
And the Packers aren't as good as they've been in the past. And the Buccaneers, although they're different, the focus is different. They're still pretty damn good. It's that simple.
They're just like, don't you? I just feel like the Bucs are okay being in these kind of games more than the Packers. I just feel like anytime games get like this with the Packers, they lose it. And then it's like the Bucs, they're okay. They can do it. They can play physical, ugly football. I don't have the faith in the Packers in these type of games. I don't. And, it'd be interesting. And it's, maybe the last time we see 12 versus 12 in this one, too. So we should all take that in and enjoy it.
Unless they cross paths in the postseason again like they did 2 years ago. All right, we'll take a break. The primetime games for week 3 when this joint production of PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned continues right after this.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
PFTPM, Chris Sims unbuttoned. It is primetime time. Sunday night football. Russell Wilson now with the Broncos facing an old nemesis. The San Francisco 49ers coming to town. Chris has mentioned on multiple occasions the fact that Kyle Shanahan, the coach of the 49ers, may have a little extra something for the Broncos. They picked Vance Joseph instead of him to be the head coach. They didn't put his dad in the Ring of Honor for 15 years. Now Kyle comes back with his old quarterback as his new quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. This one is surprising to me in that the 49ers are a narrow favorite, 1.5 points over the Broncos, 44.5 over under. All odds is always provided by BetMGM. Chris, who do you like in this one? I know where you're leaning.
Yeah.
And I think you know where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
And I see that 1.5, and I'm like, what am I missing?
It scares me a little because I just go, like, what? Is there something I don't know? Or is, you know, Jimmy the Shark out there betting millions on something I don't know, too, that sway the line here? But, you know, I think you said it right. I think Kyle's going to be really motivated here. He's going to have a ton of family and friends at the game. He's going to want to put a show on for them. I think the Jimmy G aspect gives the team a lift. As I told you, I know there's people in that locker room that wanted Jimmy G as the quarterback. I know. So I think that's a little energy there that way. And, you know, the Broncos defense, I like it. I do. But they haven't seen an animal like this yet. EJ Everall, who I got a lot of faith in as a, you know, new young defensive coordinator in football, he hasn't had to defend an animal like this. And Shanahan, who to me is, you know, one of the master game planners in football. So that's where I question that. And then, you know, the Broncos offense, I'm just not ready to buy in on it quite yet. I'm not. And the 49ers defense is arguably the best defense in football. It's certainly in that conversation. So, you know, can the Broncos run the ball on them? I don't know. Nobody can run the ball on the 49ers either. So I don't know where that goes. And I'm not sure that the Broncos pass game is really hitting on all cylinders yet either. So that's where I'm a little, you know, on the fence still about what to see from the Broncos, let alone all the other things about the clock management and all that stuff. I'm going 49ers 27-17.
There's a weird vibe around this Broncos team. The fans counting down the seconds left on the play clock. Russell Wilson trying to brush it off as he always would try to do. He doesn't want to say anything that would be regarded as hostile in any way toward the fan base. Nathaniel Hackett kind of all over the place as he tries to get his sea legs under him. This is not a matchup you want as you're trying to learn the job on the fly. And I think the 49ers, with the familiarity of Jimmy Garoppolo, that lift it's given the team, it was kind of a weird, murky, conflicting stew of emotions. They want us to support Trey Lance, but we kind of like the other guy. Now, look, it's horrible what happened to Trey Lance, the broken ankle, out for the year. Kyle Shanahan said yesterday he won't be back later in the year. He's done for the season. That opens the gates for the love to fall back to Jimmy G.
It does, you're right.
They get two primetime games, Broncos and Rams in back-to-back weeks. We're going to see the 49ers, I think, quickly emerge as contenders in the NFC. 34-20 is my score for this one. I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know why it's only 1.5 points. But I said that last week on a couple of my best bets, and what the hell did that get me?
Well,
nothing.
I know. It is scary. And, you know, EJ Everett, who's been with the Rams, I mean, he does have knowledge of this, you know, offense a little bit. But, yeah, I don't get it either. I don't. Yeah, it just, hey, I think it's what we're really seeing here is it's still week three. And with the 17-game schedule now and the fact that there's no preseason football the way it used to be, teams are still kind of figuring it out early in the year. And I think that's why we got like every game seems like it's a 2-point spread, a 1-point spread. I mean, the fact that Jaguars at 7 is the biggest spread of the week. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that way. But I got to think that's a part of why these are all so close, or at least closer than normal, in my opinion.
All right, Monday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys at the New York Football Giants. Chris will be there doing keg stands in the parking lot.
I might.
Mooning Jerry Jones, smoking weed in the stands.
Woo!
He's going to be doing all kinds of stuff.
Woo!
Tuesday morning is going to be interesting. I will be ready to mobilize Miles Simmons or Shereen Williams for Tuesday morning because Chris is sick. Chris has the flu after the Monday night game. But, yeah. Woke up naked in the Meadowlands parking lot. All sorts of
We're
things.
We're going streaking.
Giants, 1-point favorites over the Cowboys, over under of 39. Chris, set aside your rooting interest and tell me who you like in this one.
All right. Well, let me just like, you know, I'm going with the Giants here. And I don't, this is going to be, I think, an ugly football game. You know, but I do look at it like the stadium's going to be electric. The G-men haven't been 2-0 in, I don't know, forever. I don't even when the last time they were 2-0. But there's positive vibes. And then it's Cooper Rush and everybody. I just think the stadium is going to be a real factor in this football game for the Giants. You know, and then I look at it and I just go, I you know, the Giants defense, been it's pretty damn good. You know, and we saw that they were okay against Derrick Henry and company. They probably shouldn't have won that game or whatever, but they kept it close enough, and, hey, ball bounced their way a little bit. That's okay. But I think they're going to be able to handle this Cowboys offense, which I don't think is all that special, right? Now, I don't think the Giants offense can do a whole lot against the Cowboys defense either, you know, but the Giants do have a decent run game, and Daniel Jones' ability to keep the ball off the run game makes them dangerous, and Daniel Jones has been playing clean, good football for the most part. He's made like one bad decision the whole year, and it was an interception down in the red zone against the Titans. I think Daboll has, you know, really beat that into his brain a little bit. So because of the emotions of the stadium, you know, the way the Giants are playing, they're going to make the Cowboys wear the blue that they feel are bad luck. I'm going with the Giants. I'm so pumped, man. My family's never been to a Giants game. It's going to be awesome. Getting emotional.
Cooper Rush has shown he can win in prime time.
Yeah.
He beat prime time Kirk last year on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
That was the game that really drove the wedge between, well, it made it even wider. It crossed the bridge that couldn't be uncrossed between Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. I think that the Cowboys can do the whole total team effort thing. They
yeah,
did
I hear
against
you.
The Bengals. It gave them confidence going forward. They'll have confidence going into this game. And I still don't see how the Giants are better than they were last year. They don't seem better to me. They've won both games, but they don't strike me as a team that is dramatically improved from a talent standpoint. Saquon Barkley is going to be the key. If he comes out and has a big night, then, you know, and trust me, as you were explaining it, I was doubting my pick. I'm sticking with my knee-jerk instinct reaction. I'm not changing. I don't want to change.
Yep.
The hands off the checker. I got Dallas 21-17, but this will not be one of my best bets.
Yeah, I hear
guaranteed.
You there. I hear you there. There's no doubt. I don't know if I said my score. I'm going Giants 16-13. And I'll say one thing. Saquon being back makes them better. I think they have the appropriate offensive game plan week to week right now. That's the good thing. And then Wink Martindale is their D coordinator, even though you're right. The talent, you don't look at it and just go, oh, my gosh, they got better here, they got better there, all that. I totally agree with you. But I think they got two guys on both sides of the ball that understand what they are, and they play the appropriate way on both sides. So that's where it's going to be cool. And, yeah, we're going streaking through the quad on this one. Let's go, Giants.
Break time. When we return, we call it best bets. We may change it to worst bets, depending upon what happens this week. We couldn't get much worse last week. And also our Folsom Prison Blues pick, which I also think crapped the bed last week. More Chris Sims Unbuttoned and PFTPM right after this. Whoa.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Best bets time, nothing good about them last week. We were combined 0-6, which is as bad as it can possibly be. We try it again this week. We each make three picks against the spread or an over-under best bet. Chris, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the under in the Patriots-Ravens game. That's the first one I'm going to go with there. I wanted to pick the under with the Patriots-Steelers last week. I think that game can look this very similar way. I got a 22-17, the over-unders at 43.5. I'm going to ride the under here again.
I took the Colts week one, and they screwed me at the drive-through.
Yeah,
as you would say. I took the Colts week two, and they screwed me at the drive-through again.
They fucked you at the drive-through that time.
So this week, fuck you, Colts.
Yes.
I'm taking the Chiefs as one of my best bets. Chiefs, give the points, blowout win for the Chiefs. All right, what's your next one?
My next one is I'm going to the Shanahan Bowl. I'm going with the 49ers. You know, I don't know. I know I'm blonde and from New Jersey and I don't read books, but damn, I just don't understand it. And I'm not Johnny the Shark or anything like that, but I'm just still shocked by that. I really am. I just think all things point to the 49ers. I'm going 49ers.
Give me the same. That one just screamed out to me. 1.5-point favorite. 49ers win that game easily, I believe. What's your last one?
All right. My last one, this is a tough one here because it's just like it's not a team we're accustomed to. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I don't like the 7 points.
Wow.
I think Dr. Needle and the Herbert rib thing is a little pain in the butt there for them. And I think, the Jaguars lose, it'll be really close. I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled off the upset. I really would not be. I think the Jaguars got a lot of talent.
I'm torn between the Seahawks beating the Falcons and the under in the Bears-Texans.
Yeah, right.
I'll go under in the Bears-Texans just for shits and giggles. Give me the under. 40 points. I think they could play 8 quarters and not get to 40 combined points, Bears-Texans. So give me the under in that. 40 seems too high. All right. Folsom Prison Blues. We this is another one where we've been wrong. The one game that we guarantee a win, we've been wrong.
Well, everybody's both been weeks. Screwed over by
got?
This stuff. I mean,
who do you got this one?
We got shot and killed, and then after we're dead, we're getting legs chopped off now just so that for the fun of it.
Love
that. I'm going with the Colts are going to lose to the Chiefs. I'm going with that one.
I'll go 49ers and the Shanahan Bowl. I'm all in with you. I just don't see how the Broncos win this game. They have not been impressive, and I don't know how they beat the Texans last week. Maybe because it was the Texans. That's it for now. Enjoy the games. Don't pay attention to the stuff we're wrong about.
See ya.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.